show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And as promised, it is time to talk some Rangers baseball. We're getting set to go around the horn and always delighted to welcome to the show for the very first time. I've worked with him in television, but what a pleasure to have Fox Sports Southwest, John Rattigan, who is the host of Rangers Live. He's going to be joining us this weekend. Johnny R., how are you?
I'm doing well, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always nice. You can exhale a little bit when it's the weekend, but for you, it's kind of like firing up because your weekends are pretty busy this time of year, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what I always tell people. I say, I love being a sportscaster. The only thing you don't like about it, I say, when do they play sports? People go, weekends and holidays. I go, when do you think I work? Weekends and holidays. But that's the only part I don't like about it. It's great. It's a great job, and it's been fun covering the Rangers already this year.
Well, I was going to say to you, you cover a variety of sports, of course, college football, of course, the Thunder, the Mavs, but is baseball, is that your true love, John?
Well, baseball was certainly my first love in the sporting world. I grew up a Detroit Tigers fan, and so like the first games that I went to in person and all that were Tiger games, and so I would say it's my first love. I've been in Texas long enough to say football's probably my true love, but baseball's my first love.
Absolutely. John Rattigan from Fox Sports Southwest is along with us this weekend, and let's start talking about the Rangers. They have had some stretches where they've played well. In fact, that at one point they had won four of their games on their West Coast road trip, but then stumbled towards the end. They led the AL West for a total of 3 days. But John, you cover this team, you know, so many nights of the year. What has been your assessment and your impression so far?
Well, it's unbelievable that I'm going to say this, but that they're a great pitching team and not a very good hitting team, and it's just the opposite of what the Rangers have been traditionally, and I mean historically, for years and years and years. And somehow, through the help of Nolan Ryan as team president and Mike Maddux as pitching coach, suddenly this is a really good pitching team that can't hit. And they need to get guys who normally hit better than they're hitting to start hitting. You know, Michael Young is a great hitter, and he's not hitting, you know, at all this year. David Murphy's hitting 150. He's a really good hitter. They need to get these guys right and get the hitting turned around. And this is a team that has a real good chance with the way they've pitched this year to contend and maybe even win the American League West. Look, the West isn't a very good division this year, but somebody's got to win it, and the Rangers are primed to do that.
You're absolutely right. I mean, they've got to get their offense going, inconsistency at the plate. But really, is it that middle lineup, 2 through 6, that they need to get going?
It is, although you probably got to take Vlad Guerrero out of there because he's been everything as advertised in the cleanup spot, and so I couldn't ask for much more out of Vlad. You know, he's not flashing the power like he used to, but it's just a pleasure to watch this guy every day. He doesn't look right out there. He swings at pitches that are remarkably out of the strike zone. He doesn't wear batting gloves. I mean, he just doesn't look like a baseball player. And all he does is hit the thing, and he knocks it all over the yard. And he's actually, the times that he's played the field, which have been limited this year, he's mostly been a DH, but the times he's played the field, he's looked pretty good out there, too. So he is, other than him, you're right, 2, 3, you know, 5 and 6 are all coming along. They're all works in progress. Now, one of them is Ian Kinsler, who's just back from the injured list and has only played 5 or 6 games so far this season. I think he'll be good, and Michael Young will be. I can say without hesitation, Michael Young will have his 200 hits, and he'll be hitting right around 300. He's just done it year in and year out. He'll do it again this year, barring injury. I think Josh Hamilton is back to the Josh Hamilton that we saw, and he's hitting in the 280s. He got off to a slow start, but Josh is hitting in the 280s and coming back. So I'm not exceedingly worried about that part of the lineup, but they do have to start doing it.
Yeah, talk about some more about Vladimir Guerrero and how big it was to bring him on board. Of course, you know, when you talk about the Rangers, they're one of the young, the exciting teams with a lot of potential that you had just mentioned in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, you know, Vlad was, as you know, he was a Ranger killer. He has the highest batting average at Rangers Ballpark in Arlington of any opposing player ever. And so when you can get the guy who's killed you for all those years to be on your team, that automatically is good. That means he's not hitting against you, he's hitting for you. Plus now he gets 81 games a year at Rangers Ballpark instead of, you know, 10 or 12 or whatever he might have gotten as a visiting player. So it's great. And you wondered if at his age and having had a down year or two in California, if maybe he was on the downside of his career, and he certainly hasn't shown any signs of that. He had a really good off season. He lost some weight, and he feels a lot better, and he's really having fun. And he doesn't speak a lot of English, so I can't say I know him particularly well, but those who do talk to him a lot say he is having great fun with the Rangers, which is, you know, half the battle. I mean, these guys have made so much money in their career, and, you know, he's been to the playoffs numerous times. Look, what he needs and wants right now is just to get around a bunch of guys that he likes and have fun, and that's what he's doing.
You're listening to the familiar voice, John Rattigan of Fox Sports Southwest. He does so many things. He is the host of Rangers Live. And, John, where can some of our fans that are tuning in today check out some of your work and some of the stuff that you guys do online? You got some great videos on there.
Yeah, FoxSportsSouthwest.com is our website that's fairly new. We launched it right around the first of the year, I think, and we've got a lot of good information. It's a really good website. We've got columns and lots of opinions there, and there's lots of video. You can see highlights, you know, all during the year when we did Thunder games together. Alyssa, we had Thunder highlights up there. So we go all the way from Oklahoma, all the way down through Texas, and really all over the Southwest. We're big into the Big 12. We are really the, you know, there isn't a Big 12 network, but if there was one, it's Fox Sports Southwest. So you'll find Big 12 information there like you can't find anywhere else except possibly on the Big 12's own website. We have all kinds of interviews and exclusive data there that we provide lots of information for fans of the Big 12 year-round.
Outstanding. We are talking Texas Rangers with John Rattigan of Fox Sports Southwest. You'd highlighted Vlad. You also talked about Michael Young, of course. You know, for a majority of the year last season, he was like an MVP candidate. We certainly expect a lot out of him, but talk about the Big E.
Oh, Elvis is just going to be, he's going to be here for, you know, 15 or 20 years as the shortstop, and, you know, the shortstop that really the Rangers have never had, unless you count A-Rod, who was here for such a short time and was really such a failed bit. Elvis is going to be that guy that is, you know, Ozzie Smith of the St. Louis Cardinals, or, you know, Cal Ripken. I know he moved to third late in his career, but Cal Ripken was this for the Orioles. Elvis Andrus is going to be that shortstop who defines this organization. He's just—he's only 21 years old, just turned 21, or, yeah, I think he just turned 21, or either he's about to turn 21. He's so young, he's so good, and he's handled his transition to the major leagues, which in my opinion came too fast. He's handled it remarkably well. He had Omar Vizquel, who was his hero growing up. It was his boyhood idol, and Omar Vizquel was with the club last year, his rookie year, and just helped him assimilate into big league baseball. And he watched and learned from Omar every day on not necessarily the baseball part of it, but on how you live the life of a major leaguer, which when there's all this money and all this travel and all the things that go with it, there's a lot of trappings. And Elvis has been able to avoid most of those in part because of the great influence of Omar.
Of course, you highlight and talk about shortstop Elvis, but what about it? I want to zero in on the catcher position because Texas really hasn't had an elite catcher since Ivan Pedrógrides, since the 2002 season.
Yeah, and you know, of course, last year they had Pudge there for the end of the season as a backup to Salty, and then Pudge wound up catching, you know, most of the end of the year after Salty got hurt. And it was great to have him back. I was so bad they could have found a way to sign him in the offseason, and he got a much better offer to go play in Washington. He got a two-year deal, and he's tearing up the National League right now. He's the ageless wonder, Pudge Rodriguez, and one of my favorite Rangers of all time. But unfortunately, he's not back this year. So they were, you know, what they were hoping to do was have a veteran backup and have either Jared Saltalamacchia or Taylor Teagarden emerge during spring training, and the young guy would be the everyday catcher, and the veteran backup would be the backup. Well, unfortunately, neither you know, Jared got injured and or he hasn't recovered from his surgery, I guess is the most accurate way to say it. And Taylor did not hit at all. So the veteran backup, Matt Traynor, is now your everyday catcher. And they've called up Max Ramirez to be the backup, and that's not great. He's a guy who needs time in the minor leagues too. So hopefully Salty will get healthy and get back here, and they can put into place the plan, which was to have him be the everyday catcher. And I think he can handle that duty, and then have Matt Traynor be the backup, and then Taylor Teagarden can catch every day in AAA, and maybe he'll have a chance to develop. You need 1,000 at-bats in the minor leagues, and some of these positions the Rangers have had to rush guys to the big leagues. And so if they can get him his at-bats, his time down in the minors, I think Taylor's got a chance to be a great player one day.
Very well said. Here momentarily, we'll talk a little bit about as far as the Rangers pitching, but I do, one of the things we have not had a chance to visit and catch up on, talk about the manager, Ron Washington, of course, a little bit of a, I don't know, kind of talk about his situation as far as him admitting using cocaine use.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was a shock. It was really surprising that a man, you know, his age, you know, living the dream, living a life that he loves so much, was able to fall off, get off path or off course that badly at his age. It's one thing when young kids and, you know, with lots of money have all these influences, and, you know, Ron has been great about simply admitting, look, I made a mistake like so many people do. I'm sorry for my mistake. And, you know, that's really all he can do now is apologize. He gave the Rangers the opportunity to let him go. In fact, he gave them his letter of resignation a year ago, and the Rangers decided to handle him in the same way that they would handle any other employee in the organization who had a one-time incident of being caught with an illegal drug. And the way they would handle it is to basically do what they've done with Ron, and that is put him into the program, a rehab program, and make sure that he's tested and make sure that he's clean. And he has been ever since then. So he made a big mistake. He knows that. He's admitted it. And I think that the fact that he's so low-key and such a player's manager, I walked around the baseball winter meetings with him in Indianapolis this year, and we were just doing a story in this huge convention center where everybody who's anybody that has a product to sell, from peanuts to beer to training techniques to padding for the outfield walls. I mean, it's just a huge marketplace to sell everything and anything that baseball people might need. So I walked around this, but these are all baseball players, baseball people, I should say. And I walked around there with Ron Washington, and nobody knew him. And that was good and bad. I mean, bad that the Rangers don't demand that, you know, that they aren't good enough. They haven't been good enough to demand that you know who their manager is. But also good in that Ron Washington can be a little bit anonymous, and he was. And I think that anonymity will help him as he goes from park to park. He's not a lightning rod. People aren't going to be too hard on him. And I think they're going to be able to let him, and they'll be able to forget his mistake and let him forget it, too.
Of course, Ron Washington making the mistake, but how have the fans been? Have they been pretty forgiving of him?
Yeah, I think America is really good about that. I think America, look, we all realize that we're somewhat frail and we're human and we all make mistakes. And so, those who are without sin cast the first stone, you know, Jesus once said and says in the Bible. So very few of us can cast that stone. So I think that's why we're all so willing and able to forgive. And you like to see a guy own up to what he did. He has. You like to see him be truly apologetic. He did that. And let's go forward and let's hope that it doesn't happen again.
Well, it's not the first time the Ranger fans have had to endure something like this. Of course, I thought they were very forgiving in regards to Josh Hamilton and what happened last year.
Yes, very much so. And his demons, I think, are, you know, I think they're bigger demons. They're demons that can haunt him, you know, a lot more than Ron's can. I mean, I think through the program, they've pretty much determined that Ron is not an addict, but Josh Hamilton is. Josh is an addict, and it's a very difficult daily struggle for anybody who's addicted. And, you know, the Rangers, I think, have done the right thing there, and they've got you know, one of their coaches, Johnny Nairn, is also Josh Hamilton's confidant and right by Josh's side on the road, to where when those influences come up and those temptations come toward him, Johnny is there to intercept and make sure that Josh does not fall victim to them.
Well, Josh certainly has had his struggles, but I know, John, with you covering this team so closely, what is it like to be around left fielder Josh Hamilton? And we've heard so many great things about, you know, his recovery and how he is doing so much better.
It's unbelievable. He's such a really, really good, genuinely good man. And it, you know, the whole clubhouse, I've been around the Rangers since 1990, and this is by far the best clubhouse that they've ever had. Everybody in there is just a really good guy and really caring and fairly down to earth. And Josh is no exception. And I really have enjoyed watching him sort of live his faith. And, you know, when he's kind of substituted his Christianity for all those other demons, so that the addiction now, if you will, is to, you know, doing his Bible study and doing his devotionals and being a really good Christian. That's what he's addicted to now, as opposed to the illegal drugs. And so it's been really fun to watch him be that way, to live that way. Here's the classic example. We were in Baltimore, I think it was two summers ago, and it was a real hot day in Baltimore in August. And it was probably an hour before the game, and Josh just stood on the dugout steps, and this is probably a month after he had that great home run derby at the All-Star game, and
he was a
national hero after that. And he stood there in Baltimore and just signed autograph after autograph, to the point that one of the Rangers team officials said to me, "We got to get him down from there. You know, this is ridiculous. He's got a game to play in an hour. He's wearing out. He's all this energy." And so somebody went up and whispered that to Josh. "Hey, Josh, give it a rest. You got a game to play." And he said, "No, I'm going to sign all these people's autographs." So he stayed out there and he kept signing. And he came up in the first inning and he hit a home run. So he really lives it. He really is a good guy, and really, in spite of any past mistakes, really trying to live a good life and an exemplary life.
Absolutely. Of course, last year the Rangers, they finished 87-75 with that type of record, and much of that success was attributed to their improvement not only with the starting rotation, but with the bullpen. Talk some more about as far as the Rangers pitching, and would you say this is one of the most dangerous and deepest rotations they've had in some time?
Oh, by far, yeah. It's been great, and I must admit, you know, when they had Colby Lewis coming in and he was going to be their, you know, he was kind of penciled in as their third starter behind Rich Harden and Scott Feldman, I was like, Colby Lewis, all he did was he had two good years in Japan. How does that translate into success here? And Colby's been a wonderfully pleasant surprise. He's probably been the best pitcher on the staff. C.J. Wilson converted from the bullpen.
Yeah, he moved up.
The starting rotation. And C.J., if Colby hasn't been the Rangers' best pitcher, C.J. has. And so they've both been, to me, just marvelously pleasant surprises. And I think Scott Feldman and Rich Harden both are going to be fine. Rich had a great outing his last time out. Scott struggled a little bit in almost every outing, but I think Scott's going to be fine, and I think Rich is headed in the right direction. So now you've got four starters that are really good. Matt Harrison's there. Derek Collins is down in the minor leagues just tearing things up and doesn't even have a one ERA yet. So he's doing well. They've got, you know, replacements, and they can replenish this rotation if they need to. The amazing thing is they've made a lot of roster moves this year because of injuries and other things and ineffective play, but they haven't had to make a single roster move with the starting rotation. And again, that's just unheard of in Rangers history. It's always pitchers that are being called up and sent down and sort of yo-yoed back and forth between AAA and the big club.
Well, and I was going to ask you, that'll be my final question, but is the starting rotation, are they starting to gel at this point? I mean, it's obviously so early in the season, but how are they coming together?
They're coming together fairly well. And again, I think that I don't worry a tremendous amount about Harden and Feldman, because they've gotten it done at the major league level before. So I think that the pleasant surprises of C.J. Wilson and Colby Lewis make it to where there are, you know, you're going to be pretty sure that there are four good starting pitchers. And when you've got, you know, when you've got a rotation that's four deep, and Matt Harrison's no slouch, so when you've got a rotation that deep, it's just an awesome, it's an awesome feeling to have, because when you're pitching well, you know you can stay in the game. Even if the offense isn't coming through that day, if you're pitching well, you can stay in the game. That's how Seattle's done it. You know, they've got a great rotation and no offense, and they've stayed in games just based on good pitching. So it's a model the Rangers have never tried before, but so far so good. They've been in or flirting with first place for a couple of weeks now, and I think they're going to be in the hunt all the way down the stretch.
Well, the Rangers, they just need those bats to come alive. You got to work some of your Fox Sports Southwest magic on them, John.
See what we can do. I may have to get down there and give them some lessons.
Outstanding. Okay, quickly, what is the schedule for this weekend?
Let's see. This weekend, it's Mother's Day weekend, so we've got a day game on Sunday, and Rangers Live will come your way at 2:30, I believe, on Sunday. Night game on Saturday this weekend as the Rangers are back home now. Kansas City in town for four, then they're off Monday, and the homestand continues next week with Oakland in town, so they can. But Kansas City's not a very good team, so you go out there this weekend, spend Mother's Day out there, or the Friday night fireworks night when Zach Greinke pitches, and you got a pretty decent chance of seeing the Rangers get a victory.
Outstanding. I'm impressed, John. You didn't forget. It's Mother's Day weekend, a special weekend for all of us ladies out there.
See there? Look at me.
Mrs. Radigan's going to be a happy lady. Thank you so much for stopping by, John. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Sounds great.
John Radigan's been along with us. We'll be right back with much more here momentarily.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight
you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson,
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum,
and Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.